Well, you know, it's exciting times we live in. And, you know, I'm very excited because when I read these passages that Paul had read, I realize that, you know, we are on the brink of the Lord coming back. And it's interesting if you zero in on verse 32 of Acts in chapter 4, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught that which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common." Now, the reason why I'm bringing up this verse first, and we're going to be looking at they had all things in common, that also we see found in the verse, chapter 1, verse 14, they were with one accord. Chapter 2, verse 1, they were in one accord in Acts. They had all things common in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And then if we see in Acts 4:32, they had all things common. So when we look at the church today, we have one thing in common. One is the Holy Spirit, our salvation. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within ourselves. We can bear witness with one another that we are children of God. And then also, too, we are commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Some are at home watching on Zoom. Others can't make it here. They're in the hospital. Others would like to be here, but they can't. But there is the church that we have. And of course, it's mentioned for the first time church, as we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 11. But let me, before I get there, let me go through this. We're going to be looking at the obedient believers is verses 32 through 37. Then we're going to be looking at the disobedient believers in verses 5 through 1. And there was trouble within and without the church at this time. When Satan knows that, you know, there's a good thing going on, he's going to stir trouble. And of course, God's in control. But let me read to you something here. In 1925, the Quest for the World, in an address, Lenin said this: "First we shall take Eastern Europe, then the masses of Asia, then after that we shall surround and undermine the United States, which we will fall into the hands without a struggle, like a ripe fruit." Khrushchev boasted, "I can prophesy that your grandchildren in America will live under socialism." It is estimated that in 1 year, 3 million young communist missionaries are sent out from Russia to indoctrinate the youth of the world. That means they have been, people have been indoctrinated through our schools, through socialism, and also in our universities. What you see in one generation is going to happen to another. We all know that. We knew this was going on for years. Nobody was turning a blind eye to it. But what I'm saying, well, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because communists have used this passage here for years in Acts chapter 4 to try to persuade Christians in verses 32 through 34, that, you know, we have all things in common. You know, the church, what they did is they took what they had, and they didn't have to, by the way. It was voluntary that they would take their possessions or money or whatever and go to the apostles, give the money to the apostles, as they say, lay it at their feet. Because, you know, from there, once they put it there, it was now the Lord's. And they would distribute it to the people in need. Remember, there are over 10,000 people plus who've come to know the Lord now through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through people sharing. Preaching means to proclaim. It doesn't necessarily mean what I'm preaching here today, but it means all of us have been called to proclaim, to preach, to proclaim. So, asking now what's happening here in the United States, very simply, that if Satan can take out the United States, he's got Israel to deal with. one of my professors years ago, he says, you want to know about Bible prophecy? Just look at Israel. And very simply, Satan's plan is to be one, is to be the God of this world for eternity, and two, to take out Israel and disrupt God's plan and call God a liar. Of course, he is a liar. He is the father of lies, like it says in John chapter 8. And Jesus said, there is no truth in him. Don't believe in anything. And remember, he has his apostles out there. And it says here, so they had all things in common in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, in other words, great favor was upon them all. We have to ask each other today, do we have God's grace, God's great favor in our lives? Are we putting him first? Are we, you know, as I've said many times before, we lay down our heads at night saying, Lord, it's been good. I need to keep on talking with you and having fellowship with you. It's been good to be there. You're in my house. You dwell within me. Our temples, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God gives us great favor, great grace upon them and us for us today. Verse 34, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. In 1973, you had the Jehovah Witnesses make a proclamation that Jesus was coming back. And literally, there were thousands of people who sold their things, sold their homes, thinking that Jesus would come back. Of course, it wasn't on the news because, quite frankly, I think a lot of the media has their own propaganda. It's not like it used to be. And so now you see what happened was is that with Jesus didn't come back. And they believe in a prophetic revelation, an ongoing prophetic revelation. That means they have prophets in their church that believe they are still being inspired by God. And this is what God says. When thank God we have his completed word. We as Christians have the completed word. We have the truth. And one person said this comment, and I thought it rang bells in my head. Hey, why is the United States like this today? Because people have turned their backs on God. They have deliberately turned away from God, and God's saying, do you want this? Okay, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to let you go your own way. This is what you want, and we've got ourselves in a mess. Like one kid said, we got ourselves in a pickle. You know, it's a mess the way things are going. But rejoice. Remember, God's got to allow things to get worse before they get better. God has got to allow things to get worse before they get better. And they get better when Jesus comes back. Amen. Because we know that this world, if we read our Bibles and prophecy, things are going to get bad. And we should be excited knowing that the Lord's coming back and say, look up, he's coming back. Look down, we got the Bible, it says this, look up. It says it right down here. But people don't want to listen. They're going after what they want to. And like we looked at Jeremiah, that sin of covetousness, that greedy idea of I want more and more things of the world. I'm in love with the world. I want it so much that I can't get enough of it. It's just like a giant hole that you can never fill, that greediness and that wanting what more and more and more for me and myself. And this is my kingdom, my world. When I die, I don't care. That's the way some people have the attitude. But I tell you what, when people get older, and people have told me this over the years, when you hit that age, you're a fool if you think that nothing's going to happen to you after you die. You are a fool. And you know what? I think they're right. I think they're right. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so verse 34. Thank God the communists cannot take this section out of context. And we have the way, the truth, and the life. And what they had all things in common. And they were doing what was obedient as believers. Verse 35 says, and they lay down at the apostles' feet and distributed was made unto every man according to what he had they had need. In other words, they were good role models. We need good role models. Continue to be. I'm very thankful that we have seasoned Christians here today. And we are continually breaking out the bread of life, the way of life as it is. And so, verse 36, and Joseph, whom by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which word, that word means encourager, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, which is that, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. It's interesting that Barnabas was called through the Holy Spirit, through Paul later on in Acts, to work with him in the mission field. And so we need to be encouragers. He was also a Levite. So some people think back at this time that just about all Levites were bad. No, there were some good ones too. You can always find the good in everything. Let's not be, brethren, and I need to preach this to myself, not to be negative about things. Think about things in a positive light. Always looking for the good in things in people, and looking for the best and praying for the best, that God may be glorified, and we will continue marching on into the gates of Zion when we go home to be with him, knowing we did everything we could do. Verse 37, handling land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so they were being obedient. And you had Barnabas, who was one example here that, you know, God used him. We are examples. We need to be examples one to another here in our walk with the Lord. In verses 1 through 11, we see that there are the disobedient believers. We're seeing a continuation here. It doesn't stop here, because in every situation, people can be tempted. People can be drawn away. I'm often reminded here in 1 John chapter 3, and verses 17 and 18, it says this, 1 John 3:17-18, that but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, let us not be in love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. I'm very thankful for the believers here who are doing it in deed and in truth. You know, words are cheap. Someone said that a while ago, that words are very cheap. But putting it into action, that verb form, and doing something about it makes it totally different. I like what it says here in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, if thy brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit it? Of course, you gotta have to have verse 17, even so faith, if it were not works, is dead, being alone. So we need to have our faith by our works. We have some churches that preach you need to work your way to heaven. No, we do it the other way around. It's by our faith, and through our faith, you'll see the works that we do, that we are of the Lord through his Spirit. And so we look here in chapter 5 in Acts. In verse 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias, interestingly enough, it means grace. And we see Sapphira, and that means beauty. So you have two names, Ananias and Sapphira. There were two beautiful names. One's grace, the other one means beauty. And you think, oh, some people you would never expect that would rob or steal from other people. That's why I say over and over again, we need to have our guard up. We need to realize that we are sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we have to protect ourselves from sin and things. Of course we do. Like we were looking at the song sung this morning, we need to put on our armor of God. At least we are the problems of sins. And yes, I've said this before, sometimes we're our biggest enemy. we need to be careful. So it says here, with them and his wife, both Ananias and his wife sold their possession. Remember, I said that they didn't have to, but it was a voluntary thing, and kept back part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they were trying to be impressive, trying to look good on the outside. And that's how Satan does this with his apostles and with his minions. They, you know, people who don't know Christ, they try to look all good on the outside, say the right words, pronunciate everything perfectly, and look all handsome or all pretty, and so on and so forth. And, you know, they went ahead and they did what everybody else did. Now, verse 3. But Peter and Ananias said to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to a lie against the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land?" I believe that they were saved. How do I know that? Very simply. Remember, Satan can energize Christians if we allow him to in our lives. We have a Holy Spirit, but if we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit and there's a vacuum there, and we allow Satan to come in to take over that vacuum, then we can be used as the devil as well. It happened with Peter in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 22 and 23. And it says here in Matthew 16, 22 and 23, "Then Peter took and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it not far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Talking about Christ's crucifixion. And we would think, well, of course not. I wouldn't want to see, you know, disciples had no idea what Jesus was up to until later on when the Lord reveals it to us. Sometimes in our lives, we don't know what God's going to do, but we know he has something good for us. So we have to look for the good in everything. And then it says here, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those be of men." You know, that's kind of like a slap in the face. Well, sometimes the Lord has to get our attention because he loves us. It's just like our own children. And, you know, remember raising our children. We had to, you know, be very firm with them. So we have a firm foundation in Christ, but we need to get people's attention. And sometimes things look good when they're not. So we need to be loving discerners. I often say this about it being a pastor. You don't judge people. We shouldn't judge people. We should have a loving, discerning heart. Judgment comes with evil purposes. And we, you know, I have a tendency, and everybody else too, is to judge people. You know, it's not a number one or number two, so it can't be right. But God doesn't look at us as numbers. God looks at us as people, as human beings being saved by his grace. We are unique. We are loved. We are loved so much. We have so much to be thankful for today in our lives. And yet it's so easy to take things for granted. And so we see that it's easy. And remember, Jesus went on to say to Peter, you know, it was like Satan tried to sift you like wheat in the chaff. And, you know, he does that very slowly if we let him. But we stay strong in the word of God and say, you know, enough is enough. And I'm going to walk with the Lord and make an about face and walk away from our sin and get things right. Unfortunately, people don't talk about sin anymore. It's offensive. Nobody wants to hear about that. They want to hear about nice platitudes. Things feel good. You know, stroke me. You know, I want to laugh. I want my ears to be tickled. But it's the gospel and the love of Christ. And I'd rather have that any day of the time of year. And seeing people come to know the Lord. We're praying for our families, our loved ones. Moving right along. So Christians can be filled with a lie if we're not careful. In verse 4 it says, "Whilst it remained, it was not thine own. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied against men, but against God." So it was against God that he had lied to. And when we lie to the Lord. I'm often thought about a couple examples, one found in Joshua 7, 19 through 21 through Achan. Remember that story there. It says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give thee, I pray, glory, that the Lord of Israel make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua. He said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, thus and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of the tent, and silver under it. So Achan had planned in his heart to take the steal. He coveted. Again, there's that word, coveted. And he wanted it. And I believe Achan and his family loved the Lord, but, you know, it started out with Achan, and he shared it with his family, and his family didn't, you know, say, hey, get it right, Achan. You know, you're going to bring judgment upon us. Remember, God could not bless them because there was sin in the camp. And then there's Leviticus 1 through 3, another example. Aaron's sons. It says in Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire there, and he put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which commanded them not. And there went out a fire of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, and this is it that the Lord spake, saying, if I will be sanctified them that come nigh me, and before all the people will I be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So remember in this passage here, number one, they got drunk. Remember they went up and the Bible doesn't say what kind of fire it was, but they disobeyed the Lord. They just mocked God. They went up there and they didn't care. They thought, oh, I'll be okay. You know, there is a sin unto death in the Bible. And so it can even happen with God's people. Like it says in the Bible, pray not for it. Pray that people will repent. Remember in Corinthians there is that terrible, awful sin. And Paul said, pray that, you know, it's not a sin unto death. And that was a very twisted sin in the Corinth church that they had to deal with. And so going back here, but God is merciful. It says here, verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon them and heard these things. And, you know, there was great fear. You know, we kind of lost that in society. We have lost our fear. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I got that. But then living it is differently. You know, we're living in a society where people don't fear God anymore. They don't. And people are doing what's right in their own eyes. And that's a very dangerous thing. And then we see that the young men in verse 6, the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And at that time, what most Jewish people did at that time, they buried you the same day you passed away. They didn't believe in embalmment and all that, and so on and so forth. They just buried them there the same day. And it was about the space of 3 hours. And after, when his wife was knowing what was done, came in. Now she came in. And you have to remember, she had a choice at this point. And this is very important about disobedience in the church or even at home. She had a choice. She knew what her husband had done. She could have told her husband what was wrong. Ladies, you can always tell, you know, your husband, hey, what you're doing is wrong. I will follow you as you follow the Lord. It's like my wife tells me, I will follow you as long as you follow the Lord. I said, great, because that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to follow the Lord. But sometimes I get myself in the way and I trip and fall all over the place. And she's just standing there like, Okay. So we need to go ahead and put God first. And from going there, then she, Sapphira, had a choice, but she did. She didn't obey God. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for as much. And she said, yay for so much. She presumed. It was the sin of presumption. She thought, she had no idea her husband had died, had no idea that he was buried outside. And she's thinking, oh, everything's okay. Satan does that. He's very much, he's slick. He's like a snake. You can't hear a snake unless they start rattling their tails like a rattlesnake. And be careful, stay away from it. But she wasn't willing to stay away from it. She was willing just to go ahead and think, oh, everything's okay with my hub. That's okay with me, you know? And so Peter said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much that she lied. And she presumed. Verse 9, and Peter said unto her, how is it that I have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Tempt. We don't want to tempt the Lord thy God. That is one place none of us wants to go with being disobedient. We don't ever want to do that. And behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Verse 10 says, then fell she down straightway at the feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth and burying her by her husband the same day. It's, you know, kind of interesting. When things aren't right, God has a way of being quiet. And he's a merciful and he's a kind God. And he's a compassionate God. And he's a forgiving God. And he gives us a time of grace to repent. And you know what? I think as believers, I'm very thankful that he gives us that. You had the majority of the people there in the church that were had all things in common. They were, you know, running the race. They were, you know, giving in everything they had to please the Lord. But then you always have the few, and we don't want to be the few. We want to be the obedient, not the disobedient. And so she was went out there to be buried. And so it happens with us that we don't want to be dead spiritually. There are Christians today that are dead walking around. There are a lot of dead people walking around today who aren't saved, the walking dead. And yet we should be alive. We should be sharing Christ and being thankful that we have the Spirit of Christ. Verse 11, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many heard these things. In other words, there was great respect. You know, when people lose respect for something, you don't hear any good. You don't want to hear people talk about it in any which way that comes out very good. But you know what? There was great fear. There was like a revival in that church. I believe this with all my heart, soul, and mind, that people were like, oh, I better pay attention to this. I better pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. I better pay attention to what is being said. And I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, because we're going to see the purity of the church here. So we've seen the obedient believers, the examples. And we've seen the disobedient believers. And this is so important because God, and I'm coming to a point here, that God wants to purify his church. One person said, hey, through persecution, we could see what happened there. Oh, yes, God took Peter and John, put them in jail last week, and guess what? They got out. And we'll see later on an angel of the Lord came along and got them out of jail. But God wants us at this time to be a pure church. While all the craziness is going on with our government, things don't make sense. It makes total sense because I can rejoice in it and knowing, you know what, this is becoming more and more of a socialistic country. And I'm saying I can rejoice and say, you know what, the Lord's coming back. Things are going to get worse. Of course they are. You know, you don't hear anything about United States in prophecy. Of course not, because just like what Lenin said, you know, it'll be like a ripe fruit ready to plop right down in your hands, you know. And if you've read through the Communistic Manifesto, they want to make peace with everybody. But underneath that peace, they've got you trapped. It's like a trap, an animal stepping into a trap. Slam. They got you. That it smells real good. That food smells good. And bam, they got you. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. So we need to stand up for Jesus. soldiers of the cross, bear our cross, stand up for our rights. Like I said, don't like what's going on? Get in touch with our representatives, at least call people, do something. If good people, bad things happen to good people when they do nothing. Look at this. This is important here for us as the church. And remember, God has his plan, and we're going to let him do what he allows to happen. So be encouraged, my brethren. And chapter 5 in 1 Corinthians, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Remember, that's leaven's put into bread, lets bread rise. Remember what happened with the Israelites in Exodus chapter 12. And, you know, talking about the leaven, and when they had to leave Egypt, Egypt was a picture of leaven. Leaven today is a picture of the world. We need not to have the world in our lives. Remember, the Israelites had to go. They had to hurry up and go. And their bread was flat. They would eat their bread flat. And leaven lets bread to rise. Well, we need to get the sin out of our lives. We need to keep it down flat. But it says here, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. For as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover sacrifices for us. So there was no sin found in Jesus Christ. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He was that picture of a lamb for sacrifice for our sins. That's why we, every day, I plead the blood of Christ in my life. And I have the Spirit of God in my life. And I have the Word of God in my life. Those three areas is what keeps me going every day. The blood, the Spirit, the Word. And so it says here, therefore, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. That has the idea of malice is when somebody attacks you for no reason at all, comes at you viciously and speaks viciously, or that they would go ahead and or physically hurt you. It says, with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we have the truth. We have the way. We have the life. So we're very thankful. God can use us, and God wants us to be obedient children. He wants us to get that leaven out of our lives. And so we have to know ourselves real well. And we're the best people that knows ourselves. Amen. And God can use us in that capacity. So we have a lot in common. Just as there was mentioned already four times here in the Bible, you know, with one accord and being that one in common. It's mentioned four times already here in Acts. So there's going to be trouble, and I'm ending with this. There's going to be trouble in our lives constantly. Jesus says there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. But you know what? We have the blood, we have the Spirit, and we have the Word. And so with that, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. And like I said, if we allow Satan in our lives, it's only because we allow him to. But we are greater as he that's in us. And he is in the God of this world. And his time's passing, and he's angry right now. And you better believe we're going to have opposition. And it's going to come from everywhere, places where we don't even expect it. And we have to be on guard. We need to have our armor on. And so, as I'm thinking of all, I want to encourage everybody, let's keep it in common. Let's keep building each other up. Let's keep on attending. If it's on Zoom, if it's here, or we can't, let's pray for one another. You know, let's keep on keeping on, because our time is short. The weeks are flying by. The older we get, the faster they go. And we need to be praying for people to get saved. And put apart all fear and things that get you upset, and walk with the Lord today. Let me close in prayer. I'm done. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord, that you would just guide us and direct us this week. Father, we want to be obedient believers, not disobedient believers. God, we want to do what you've commanded us to do. And Lord, it's not easy. And some of us here are suffering, going through some very hard trials, and we need to be encouraged. But also, Lord, we have to take the whole Word of God and apply it to our lives. We've seen what your blessings when we're obedient, and we're disobedient, you can't bless. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would just continue to abide in us, and we thank you that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we do have all things in common. We are part of the church, part of the body of believers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.